always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
His MAGA officials are calling on a national ban on the right to choose in every state. I promise you, with the Democratic Congress, Kamala and I will make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again. I promise you.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show here on Wednesday, April the 17th, 2024, 5:06 in the p.m. Central Daylight Time. Chris, we've got Senator Dr. Bob Onder standing by to talk to us in a second. And then, Chris, at 5:25, we're going to talk about the billions and billions. We're not lying. We're not trying to do Austin Powers here. The billions of dollars involved in the leftist takeover of our elections. A lot of foreign money, a lot of Soros money, a lot of money from Swiss billionaires, all trying to influence our elections. Chris, I guess it's because they don't like the way our elections are currently conducted.
They don't. And I think also what has to do with that, they see our leaders, especially our president, is corrupt. And they see that if the head of the snake is corrupt, then maybe the whole system is corrupt, and they can influence it in a nefarious way.
Mm-hmm. We'll ask Scott Walter why this all happens. Give you a little hint. It's to destabilize the beacon of freedom and liberty. Let's get back to something else that's enshrined in our Constitution, and that is life. Life is mentioned several times in the U.S. Constitution, the Missouri Constitution. There's a lot of attacks on life. It's going to be one of the biggest issues. It's going to be on the ballot. Probably, maybe not. We hope not, in Missouri and a lot of other states. To talk about that and lots more, let's bring in former state senator Dr. Bob Onder.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Doc, you weren't a speaker, but you were a senator, and both of us know how to talk a lot, so we're going to make you part of the Speaker's Stump Speech, if that's okay with you today.
Well, that sounds great, Tim, and we're both very stable geniuses.
That's right, as well. So, Doc, tell us...
As is Chris.
Yes, all of us. We will all accept that title. So, Bob, you know, abortion may be on the ballot here in Missouri, and so, you know, the folks like you and I and Chris, those of us who actually prefer life over death, we've decided to fight back, and the Post-Dispatch apparently doesn't like a fair fight, do they? Because they've written a hit piece on the now famous decline to sign initiative. Bob, my first question is, would the Post-Dispatch be bothering to spill so much ink if the decline to sign campaign was perhaps not doing well? It sounds like maybe decline to sign is having an effect. What say you?
Well, I think you're right, Tim. Despite the millions of dollars that out-of-state billionaires have spent trying to put abortion in Missouri's Constitution, with fewer than 3 weeks left, May 5th is the deadline, the pro-abortion movement in Missouri is short of signatures. And it's my understanding that pretty much anywhere you go in the 3rd Congressional District, which is St. Charles, Columbia, Jeff City, you will, in public places, you will find an army of signature gatherers telling every lie under the sun to try to get one's signature on that piece of paper, that deceptive initiative petition. So, yes, the Post-Dispatch today put out a kind of hit piece trying to one by one refute the claims that Missouri Right to Life and the decline to sign effort and you and I have been making about this radically pro-abortion initiative petition. And of course, I believe everything we've been saying about the decline to sign, about the abortion initiative petition is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Dr. Bob Onder, who is a conservative Republican candidate from Missouri CD3. Speaking of the body that you were looking to join, Dr. Onder, one of the big issues, of course, is funding for Israel, Taiwan, and for Ukraine. Speaker Yes. Johnson has said that he is going to put a funding bill for Ukraine on the floor this week, possibly next week. A couple of representatives, including Marjorie Taylor Greene, have said that they will do a motion to vacate to relieve him of his duties. Where are we at right now on this, do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not in favor of the motion to vacate. I mean, I think it's really bad precedent when a handful of Republicans can join all the Democrats and remove a Republican Speaker of the House. But what Speaker Johnson is proposing right now is actually somewhat complex. It's actually five separate bills that he would like to bring to the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, separate funding bills for Israel, for Ukraine, for Taiwan, another bill that would essentially divest TikTok and put sanctions on Russia to help pay for Ukraine, and then finally a border security bill as a fifth measure. Now, an interesting development is that just today, J.D. Vance, U.S. Senator, of course, came across to the other side of the building and spoke to the Republican Study Committee, which is a group of conservative Republican congressmen, and urged them to tie any funding of Ukraine to security of our own border, our southern border. So it's an interesting development, absolutely we should stand with Israel. Actually, back in November, the House of Representatives passed a standalone bill to support Israel, paid for by equal cuts to the Internal Revenue Service. So I think that is more the approach we ought to take, rather than sending a sum of money to Ukraine without adequate accountability, without safeguards, that is equal to more than the annual budget for the U.S. Marine Corps.
Mm. Bob, before we, I had a follow-up question on the Decline to Sign initiative, because I was able to pull up the Missouri Right to Life's poster on that, their handout.
Yes.
It's at MissouriLife.org.
Yes.
Bob, with these ballot initiatives, we know what happens, right? The people who put these initiatives before the people, they only need 50% plus one to amend our Constitution. I know the legislature is trying to change that. I think that's a ridiculously low threshold to change the freaking state Constitution. But
absolutely.
Bob, what they do is the people who are trying to get these passed, they don't tell you the truth and the whole truth, do they? They say, well, this is about women's health care. Or if you push them and you say, isn't this about abortion? Yeah, but you know what? It's just going to be abortion in the first few weeks, and there's exceptions and all that. But Bob, the Missouri Right to Life folks are pointing out the 10 reasons why you should decline to sign, because so many things are actually buried in this initiative that the signature gatherers aren't going to tell you. Isn't that correct?
Well, that's absolutely true, Tim. And it's a relatively, by standards of these initiative petitions, it's relatively short. The problem is in just the very broad, vague language that the initiative petition uses. The terms that any quote denial, interference, delay, or restriction of the right to reproductive freedom is presumed invalid. In other words, any kind of restriction on abortion. And of course, health and safety regulations, Tim, are restrictions. Licensure requirements are restrictions.
Mm.
Partial birth abortion bans, of course, are restrictions. And of course, parental consent or notification. Those are all restrictions. And you don't have to take my word for it. pro-abortion advocates for decades now have pushed back against the kind of health and safety or informed consent requirements that you and I passed when we were in the legislature, and they've called them trap laws, with targeted restrictions on abortion providers. The pro-abortion, pro-death advocates have for decades opposed any attempt to regulate abortion in the interest of the health and safety of women. Any attempt to regulate abortion in interest of minor children who might be brought to an abortion clinic by their rapist. The abortion industry has been absolutist in their position, and they wrote this initiative petition, Tim, and that's why people should decline to sign, and heaven forbid, should it get on the ballot in November or August, it's why people should vote no.
Dr. Under, another big issue facing the Congress right now is the Section 702 of the FISA surveillance bill. It is set to expire this Saturday. That bill is usually has a five-year length. They have compromised to that being every 2 years. That has assuaged some people that have concerns about this extending this bill. What's your thoughts on FISA, specifically the 702 provision?
Yeah, FISA Section 702 needs to be reined in, and it was really appalling that the House voted down Congressman Andy Biggs' amendment that would have reined in FISA somewhat. So for your listeners, the FISA was a bill passed in a law passed in 2008. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you need FISA to protect against the next 9/11. Well, remember, 9/11 was 9/11/2001. FISA wasn't passed until 7 years later. But in theory, FISA only allows surveillance of electronic communications. Now, that could be over the phone, it could be computer, it could be text messages, of foreign nationals communicating with phone calls, communications into the United States. The only problem with that, because your listeners are all thinking, well, I don't make calls to France or Ukraine very often, right? The problem is that in the course of monitoring those communications and those that electronic traffic over the internet and so on, the NSA takes up an enormous volume of data on American citizens. There is data on every one of your listeners in that database, and basically the government can thereby spy on U.S. citizens by going through that treasure trove of data. That needs to be reined in. We should not have warrantless spying on American citizens. So 702 needs to be reformed or needs to be allowed to expire. And I think again it's pretty sad that the Biden intelligence community opposed the attempts at reforming it in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now it's over in the Senate's court. But this is really a travesty.
Speaking to former state senator Dr. Bob Onder, who is a candidate for Congress, the 3rd Congressional District, big chunk of our listening area, especially for those of you in the 94-1 signal land, stretching from St. Charles to points westward. Bob, I'm sure as you are campaigning all across the 3rd Congressional District and educating yourself very well on all of these congressional issues, having just termed out of the state Senate, I'm sure you're also keeping an eye on the state Senate and probably you're hearing from a lot of your former constituents and likely future constituents about the issues that are pending in the Missouri legislature. With 4 weeks left to go, Bob, are you surprised or not that once again the Missouri legislature seems to have a group of folks in leadership who just aren't that interested in passing bills this year? The Freedom Caucus, of which you're a legacy member, has been pushing on a lot of these issues. Many of them are 1 to 2 votes away from either going to the voters or going to the governor's desk. But it seems like there's an extreme sense of urgency. What say you from someone who's been there and done that and now is looking outside or looking in?
Well, yeah, I think there is a sense of urgency that we need to do certain things, but especially initiative petition reform, because this idea that far-left billionaires can come to the state of Missouri and buy an amendment to our Constitution with deceptive ballot language, in which the courts are often complicit in giving that deceptive ballot language, that is an utter abomination. And we're seeing it big time with the issue you and I were just discussing, this abortion initiative petition, which is being bought and paid for by out-of-state special interests. So it's imperative that we do that issue now. We've been considering that. Legislators like myself have been filing initiative petition reform legislation to protect our Constitution now for 7 years. It's got to happen now. And, the IP legislation, reform legislation passed the House and passed the Senate. But guess what? Senate leadership and House leadership are literally colluding to be able to say, well, we did it. Well, we did it. Mm. But they're not getting together and passing a good initiative petition reform bill that would go to the voters, that would also ensure election integrity, ban foreign interference with our elections, require that only citizens vote in our elections. They're not doing it, and they're killing initiative petition reform on the behalf of out-of-state special interests and some in-state special interests for reasons I do not understand at all. The realtors, for instance, are opposing initiative petition reform. So, your listeners and you and I need to keep beating the drum that we need to do this to protect our Constitution and protect all the pro-life victories that we have had over the last 50 years. That's 50 years ever since Roe versus Wade, and protect innocent human life. We've got to do it now. We've got to tell, Representative Patterson, the House floor leader. We have to tell Caleb Rowden, the Senate President pro tem, that we're on to them. We know what they're doing. We need to protect our Constitution, protect innocent human life. And if not, there will be consequences.
Dr. Under, one more congressional question for you. Last month, the TikTok divestiture bill passed overwhelmingly in the House, over 300 votes. It is now in the Senate, where it is languishing some, doesn't have as much momentum as it had before. Maria Cantwell, the Commerce Committee, where that is, says she is worried about legislation specifically featuring the targeting TikTok, that it may be unconstitutional in that sense. What is your belief and thoughts on TikTok?
Yeah, well, I think we need to be very careful about giving the federal government, especially the executive branch, more powers over censoring or regulating free speech in our country. Now, TikTok, though, I believe is a different case, because I think there is ample evidence that TikTok acts as an instrument of spying on American citizens. So I think that that the bill passed last month, I think is a reasonable approach. I'm not familiar with all the details of that bill, but as you said, it passed the House overwhelmingly. But I think we really do need to be very careful, because the Chinese are our enemies, and they are using every means at their disposal, whether it be forced technology transfer on the part of our corporations, whether it be cyber terrorism. They're using every means at their disposal to fight America, to undermine our interests, and I believe that they do that with some of these social media platforms as well.
A further discussion of these issues may be found at former Senator Dr. Bob Onder's Twitter X feed at Bob Onder Mo, or simply go to his website, BobOnderMo.com. Doc, thanks so much for all the time today. Good luck on the campaign trail. I'm sure we'll be all speaking with you again very soon.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks for having me. Have a great evening.
You too as well. Well, we covered a lot of material there with Dr. Bob Onder. We're going to take a little break here, a little breath, and we're going to prepare for another jam-packed interview with Scott Walter. He's the president of Capital Research. He served in the George W. Bush administration. He's monitoring, following, and uncovering the dark money network of all the leftist billionaires, we just talked about them quite a bit, in our election system. We should all be aware of that. We'll make you more informed when we come back on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
When it comes to Texas, Chuck Schumer has been explicit. He's coming after Texas. I am his number one target in the entire country. I'm on the ballot. I'm running for re-election. And the Democrats are coming after me. They are going to spend more than $100 million this year. George Soros is already spending millions of dollars in the state of Texas. They go to tedcruz.org. They give $25 or $50 or $100. That's how we stand up to the George Soroses and the Chuck Schumers and the Mark Zuckerbergs is the $25 and $50 at tedcruz.org, because we got to fight to defend Texas. If we lose Texas, we lose the whole country.
Well, that's true, Chris. The attacks on America and on American politicians who favor freedom and liberty like Ted Cruz, astounding in the amount of money being spent to try to take them out.
And the amount of money that the Biden administration has raised so far has been absolutely astounding. You know, President Trump is raising equal amounts now, but the Democrats know that this is going to be a messaging campaign. It takes a lot of money to get your message out.
And folks, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Sorry to terrify you so much here on a Wednesday afternoon, but Scott Walter has been digging deep into this money pit, and it seems to have no bottom. Scott Walter, president of the Capital Research Center, author of the brand new, fascinating and terrifying book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. Scott, good afternoon. Welcome back to News Talk STL and to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show.
Great to be with you.
So, Scott, my co-host here, Chris Harps, was saying Arabella sounds like something out of a James Bond movie. It really does, Scott, doesn't it? And it's kind of similar, isn't it? It's like the whole Spectre network. This is a huge network of money that most of us know nothing about, but it's affecting everything we do, at least in the political and public policy space, isn't it?
Absolutely. There is pretty much no issue area they are not in.
Give us some examples of that.
Sure. One of their billionaires you probably wouldn't think of is Warren Buffett. I'm afraid that he is one of the biggest funders on abortion activism in the country or the world. And he's put millions and millions of dollars through Arabella for that. Zuckerberg, more bad news for you. When you think a horrible prosecutor, you think George Soros. And he gives money to Arabella, but Zuckerberg gives millions of dollars to Arabella, and mainly his donations have gone toward criminal justice reform, which means no justice for criminals.
Hey, Scott,
just two examples.
Scott, give us the structure of Arabella. Is this a formal organization? Is this an informal name that they give Arabella? Does it have a formal head? Is there any way that the general public can get more information about Arabella easily?
Well, as far as more Arabella info, urge you to buy the book at Amazon.com. But you can also go right away to our website, influencewatch.org, and just type in Arabella. I just warn you, you're going to lose hours of your life because you're going to go down a lot of rabbit holes.
Speaking to Scott Walter of the Capital Research Center. Scott, I attend some conferences throughout the years, throughout the year on electoral integrity, and I've seen a presentation at a group called the Honest Elections Project where they describe the differences in money. And Scott, it's really stunning, isn't it? Like everybody hears about on the news, oh, the RNC raised this many millions and the DNC raised this many millions, but then they talk about the things we don't know about, and they use these descriptors and the amount. So like the RNC and DNC are like little tennis balls, right? But then when you talk about the money that Arabella advisors, some of his networks, it's like the size of the Death Star. I mean, it's really that dramatic, isn't it?
You are exactly right. Can I give you a couple of Arabella numbers versus the RNC, DNC?
Oh, please.
So in the 2020 cycle, that's 2019 and 20, Arabella's nonprofits took in $2.4 billion. Now, compare it. You can, the same cycle, the Democrat National Committee plus the Republican National Committee were $1 billion behind that. 2022 cycle, off year, so you'd think, well, surely the numbers go down a little, right? Wrong. 2022, Arabella's nonprofits taken $3 billion. That is more than the DNC, the RNC, the Republican Senate and House committees, the Democrat Senate and House committees. You have to throw another $500 million on there to get to Arabella.
That's amazing.
Scott, your book, Arabella, the Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America, you state in the book that there are three levels to Arabella. What are those three levels? Describe them for us, please.
Sure. The way to understand Arabella first is it's a network, right? So, which is to say it's a bunch of things and groups. And the quick way I would put it is visualize a pyramid, right? At the top of the pyramid, you've got Arabella Advisors, which is a for-profit PR consulting firm, right? Beltway Bandits, we call them. Now, in the middle of the pyramid, you have half a dozen nonprofits of multiple types, and that's where the money actually is sent, right? If you're Soros or Zuckerberg, you write the check to one of those nonprofits. And then at the base of the pyramid, you have what you see, what ordinary Americans see, hundreds and hundreds of fake groups, like, you know, Secure Michigan Elections, Floridians for a Fair Shake, you know, blah, blah. They look like they're grassroots groups, but really they're just a website and an accounting code at a giant firm in D.C.
Scott, why should Americans be concerned? And we want them, of course, to I've been reading through the book. It's fascinating, by the way. We want them to go buy Arabella, the Dark Money Network. You can get that at Amazon or wherever you get books. But Scott, what's the point of the I mean, this we're talking billions and billions of dollars, larger than a lot of big companies in America. What are they trying to do ultimately? And why should we be concerned?
Well, they're first trying to do pretty much everything left wing, whatever their billionaire masters, you know, are demanding effectively. But the reason we should care is because, as well as because some of those billionaires, for instance, it's foreign money. There's a Swiss billionaire, probably never heard of, Hans-Jürg Wyss, right? He's put hundreds of millions of dollars into this network. Now, it's completely illegal for a foreign national like him to be interfering in our elections. But of course, the law is murky. If he gives it to one of these Arabella-run nonprofits, and then the nonprofit gives it to a super PAC, well, who knows? We don't know if it's it. He swears his money doesn't make it to the super PACs, which would be completely illegal. And if you trust these people, then you don't have anything to worry about. If you don't trust them, then you do.
Well, that was my question there, because I was reading your book where there were some Swiss money influence. I'm sure there were other foreign people that were involved in there. And I was like, how do they keep the foreign money out of the money to influence our elections? And you answered that. How widespread is this? Do we know of this gentleman? Are there other foreigners that are giving money to Arabella?
We don't know of any foreigner who's given anything like that amount of money, where it's in the hundreds of millions. And by the way, the other thing about him is, as best we can tell, he looks to have been the original sugar daddy for this joint. The first year that it had more than $1 million was 2008. It had 1.7 million in its nonprofits, and a million of the 1.7 came from Hans-Jürg.
Scott, what you just described in the last couple of minutes was exactly what Democrats and the left said that Trump and Republicans were doing in the 2016 and 2020 election. Once again, Scott, it sounds like every accusation from the left and D.C. Democrats is actually a confession. So you've connected the dots. You've proven that these foreigners are participating in these big money operations that are very likely influencing our elections. Is anyone in Washington, D.C. paying attention to this? Are there any congressional hearings on this? Is anybody looking into this incredible amount of information that you've unearthed courtesy of all of your work at the Capital Research Center on this?
I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be over soon, but I'm proud to say that I just got asked to testify yet again to Congress on Arabella, and that will be the fourth testimony in 5 months.
Wow.
To four different committees. And in both houses. So our yelling about this is beginning to attract attention. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to to, you know, stop all this. But and there is, however, a bill that has dropped that would say that if you are a 501c4, not political nonprofit, that's like an NRA or a League of Conservation Voters type group. If you take foreign money, you're not going to be allowed to give money to super PACs for the next several years. And it has some other good things, too. So they're starting to have rumbles about it now, whether it, you know, you probably can't have it pass and become law while Chuck Schumer and Biden are in control. But progress.
Scott, it sounds like Arabella, of course, is trying to use their money to influence our elections, to influence our culture. Is there any evidence that Arabella money is going to endow college, to fund college endowments or set up Confucius Institute like institutions like the Chinese have done to influence young people in the next generation?
We have not seen a lot of money going into colleges. Of course, the left doesn't need Arabella for that, right? I mean, the colleges are already pretty much completely controlled territory for the left. They tend to do more direct political things rather than sort of longer-term efforts like that.
Mm-hmm. We've been speaking with Scott Walter, president of the Capital Research Center. You can check out their great work at capitalresearch.org, capitalresearch.org, at Capital Research on Twitter, and also the other website Scott mentioned, influencewatch.org as well. Scott, before I let you go, what should all of our listeners, besides, of course, buying the book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America, what should our listeners do, Scott? Should they buy an extra book and send it to their congressman or their senator? I mean, it sounds like people need to start maybe lighting their hair on fire a little bit more in Washington, D.C. about this stuff. It's terrifying.
I think that's an excellent idea, and I'll also tell you, you know, your state AG in Missouri, you have a solid state attorney general, and in that state and other states, attorneys general are allowed to go and investigate the charities and nonprofits operating in their state. They're supposed to be overseeing it in their state. So,
oh, that's a great idea as well. We'll ask Attorney General Andrew Bailey about that next time we have him on. Scott, thanks so much for everything. Folks, check out Arabella, the Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires, Secretly Transforming America. You can get that at Amazon or wherever else you may find books. You can also check out this incredible website. Been looking at it right now, influencewatch.org, if you want to dive deeper. Scott, thanks for everything you're doing to save America. And good luck with the book, and we'll be happy to have you back on again soon.
Thank you.
Love to see you soon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Wow. Billion, more money than the RNC, the DNC, and the senatorial committees combined is flowing into our election system, courtesy of this network.
Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and the gentleman that owns Geico and Berkshire Hathaway, all these folks who you would think that good old-fashioned American capitalists who made their money taking advantage of the opportunities of this country wouldn't be using that wealth and influence to try to destroy it.
Yeah. They're literally trying to shake the foundations of the electoral system and destabilize the country. It's really shocking. Mm-hmm. And it's the same country that made them wealthy and powerful.
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to protect their wealth. Maybe they see something along the future that we don't see, and they're trying to protect themselves now.
Mm, disturbing indeed. All right. Well, on that happy note, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we will try to liven things up. We'll prepare you for Larry Connors USA. Larry follows us every evening at 6:05 p.m. And then he'll turn things over to the Rob Carter Show. 6 live and local shows every day, which is why we are number one for live and local conservative talk here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All of these pro-Hamas lunatics can, I don't know, get a permit and protest in a park and wave around the little Hamas flags if they want to make fools of themselves. But they have no right to block traffic, especially on major highways or city streets when other people are trying to go about their business. And yes, what the police should do is get there promptly and arrest these people and throw the book at them if they're allowed to by their often left-wing Democratic mayors. But in the meantime, these lunatics shouldn't be surprised if their fellow motorists get out and remove them from the road forcibly so they can go about their business, because they have no right to be blocking public streets.
5:50 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And here, I agree with Senator Tom Cotton there on these lunatics, as he called them. And I agree with him, who in their moment of protesting decide to stop highways and block streets and allow people not to go about their business. Mm-hmm. I've said this many times here, Tim. I don't see how that gets public perception on your side when you are inconveniencing people. You know, people talk about one of the hallmarks of the civil rights era that really got the nation on the side for civil rights is when on the 6 o'clock news, people in the North were seeing dogs being sicked on black people as they're trying to march for their rights. And that turned the tide of public perception and helped usher in civil rights. All you're doing with this is you're just ticking people off. And in one of these occasions, it's going to be an ambulance trying to get someone to the hospital or trying to get to someone who is sick, and they're going to be delayed. And that person is going to be in worse shape or is going to probably end up dying. I'm surprised we haven't had that instance of that happening yet. And, you know, the origin of all of this stopping highways, Tim, as you know, started right here in St. Louis.
It did.
You remember back in the early 90s, late 90s, somewhere in that time period, the Reverend Al Sharpton came to St. Louis. There were some black construction contractors that wanted more of a percentage of construction work here in St. Louis. And so Al Sharpton and this group and a bunch of other activists shut down Highway 40. And were promptly arrested, but that brought them a lot of attention, and they actually did get some more business for minority contractors. But it worked then, but as the left always does, they overdo it, oversell their hand, and now it just annoys people.
Here's the difference you're pointing out, too. With the civil rights movement, Chris, what was the mission? What was the end game? The mission was noble. The end game was laudatory. It was all people should be treated the same in the eyes of the law and in society, right? All the norms should be applied the same. Everybody should get to use the same public accommodations. People should be treated fairly. What in the world is the mission and the end game of the Death to America crowd, right? That's what these people are chanting. They're not chanting equal rights for all. They're literally chanting death to America, down with Israel. So I ask, what's the end game there? Okay. Death to America. What then? Okay. Yeah. Let's say they had their way. What would they rebuild in its stead? Yeah. I don't think they even know.
And another slogan that they cheer out is free Palestine. Like, we don't know. The world doesn't see what's going on in Palestine. Like, the world doesn't know that there's a war going on between Hamas and Israel. We're very aware of what's going on. We know that there's a humanitarian crisis that's in the Middle East, partly caused by Hamas using their own people as human shields, and first by attacking Israel on October 7th. But, you know, they act like they're trying to get attention for this part of the world that no one's ever heard of, no one ever hears anything about. And so we need to shut down the highway so that you'll know who Palestine is.
And you know what? Israel already freed Palestine. Nobody on the left, especially these wealthy brats, these elitist brats at Columbia University, Israel backed out of Gaza years ago, right? They were like, look, all right, we give up. We're out. We're going to leave Gaza to the Gazans, to the Palestinians. They can have it. That ended in October 7th, right? That ended in a terrorist attack courtesy of Iranian proxies. So they don't just want free Palestine. They want an end to Israel. They want Israel wiped off the map. That is actually in the mission statement of some of these Middle Eastern countries like Iran. So again, I ask, what's the end game? Just say it. You hate Israel and you don't want the Jewish people on the planet anymore. And maybe then we can start calling things what they really are.
I agree with that.
It's disturbing.
You know, we need to have a segment on the show, Joe. We call it Only in St. Louis segment. We would probably could use that for the entire show. But on an inaugural Only in St. Louis segment, can we play Cut 9?
A mother is facing charges after allegedly telling her 8-year-old son
to drive a car in downtown St. Louis because she couldn't drive anymore. Police say the boy was seen driving the wrong way on South 4th and Walnut Streets. The child told police 28-year-old Latante Mays Gale told him to take over the driving. She was allegedly unconscious in the back seat. Police say a 3-year-old not in the car seat was also back there. She is now facing 2 counts of first degree endangering the welfare of a child.
Oh, hell no!
It's like those Florida man stories.
Yeah, it's almost like, wow, you ever heard of like Uber or call a girlfriend or call somebody to come pick me up? I can't drive instead of handing your third grader.
So, Chris,
your keys?
So we've got Provel cheese, we've got toasted raviolis, and we've got 8-year-olds driving cars.
Oh,
holy St. Louis.
I mean, just put it in that perspective. You basically just told your third grader.
Yeah.
Here, honey, get us home safely, if you don't mind. Here's how you program the GPS. Just put our address in there and try not to kill us. I'm going to sleep it off. On the way home.
Joey, do we know any more context to this story? Did mom have a heart attack or like what was happening?
Her headshot, her mugshot looks so, she was really tired is what I could tell.
Yeah, really. Shocker.
Tired, huh? That's what we're calling it now.
And there's an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old. I mean, how in the world, first of all, how wasted do you have to be to just trust your third grader? And eight-year-old, I'm just going to hop in the back seat and just take a nap here. Here, you drive.
Why are you in the car in the first place, right? I mean, Chris, it's amazing that all three of them have lived to tell this tale. Thank God, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Driving on the wrong side of the road. You know, we always talk about how bad St. Louis is doing economically, where you don't see any construction cranes downtown and not a lot of traffic after people leave for work. Well, in this case, it's kind of a good thing that there's nobody downtown because this third grader was driving on the wrong side of the road in downtown St. Louis and apparently didn't hit anybody or cause any crash or anything. So
they're going to do Escape from St. Louis next.
Oh, only in St. Louis. Mm. Well, we've got Larry Connors USA up next. You know, he's got some crazy stories he's going to be going over. Larry's going to talk about non-government organizations encouraging illegals to vote for Biden. Senator Hawley, why Energy Secretary should resign. And Morning Joe almost had Larry join his side, but then he blew it. So you want to stay tuned to Larry Connors USA up next, 6 to 8. The Rob Carter Show from 8 to 10. You have been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Number one for live and local conservative talk. Drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.